Danelle shared with me a testimony that she has, and I'm excited. She's going to share that before the message this morning. So, Danelle Faber, if you would come and share what has been going on in your life and the things that God has laid on your heart, and let this be an inspiration and encouragement for the rest of us. And I know that you are working, and things are happening, and God is working in your lives, and things are changing, and I'm so grateful to hear that. And I think testimonies really are the key to revival, because when we see how God is working, it gives us the faith to believe that God is working, going to work in our lives as well. So God bless you.
Good morning. Bear with me. I'm incredibly nervous. My name is actually Danette Faber, but nope, that actually... it all fits, so don't worry about it. But yeah, my name's Danette Faber, and I've been attending this church here with my husband, Jared. So Jared waves, so everyone looks at you for a moment instead of me, and our son, Connor. Connor's not here with us today. But we've been here for the last 4 years. I've been hiding in plain sight and always have an excuse to dodge any opportunity to participate in any form of fellowship. So that's where I say, trust me when I say, like, it's not you, it's me. I feel compelled to tell the truth, and hopefully, like, truth will set me free, that I suffer from extreme social anxiety. Jesus is healing the wounds that cause this, but I'm far from having confidence. So even though I have my weaknesses, God is still showing me where he can use me. And it's not me that stands here before you today, but Christ in me. So please give me the courage to do this. I accepted the gift of salvation as a child, but it's only been within the last few months that I realized I never surrendered to the Lord. After doing so, my heart was filled with a passion to serve Jesus. The first prompting from the Holy Spirit was that I was to attend the National Day of Prayer service back in May. It took absolute faith for me to walk through these doors of the church that day and answer that calling. I'm overwhelmed with how Jesus has changed my life since that day. After the prayer service ended, I just sat in a pew crying. A woman I've never spoken to before laid hands on me and began praying for me. I went home not being able to get something she said to me out of my head. God is never the one to hurt us. The lesson Jesus taught me from that was that I knew who he was as a savior, but I had no clue what unconditional love really was. I perceived that fearing God meant that he'll punish me if I'm not the perfect Christian, and that was the reason for all of my struggles my whole life. My next step was to learn how much Jesus loves me, see myself as he sees me, and learn to love with his love. A few weeks ago, another woman who I've never spoken to handed me a mason jar of wildflowers after church. She said, God bless you, and simply requested that I return the jar sometime in the future. There was a prompting from the Holy Spirit immediately that I was to do more than return the jar. There was obviously a reason that she wanted the jar back. I then remembered that I have cases of mason jars at home that I no longer use. Maybe Jesus was showing me who could use them. 2 weeks later, I returned the mason jar and had it filled with flowers from my garden. I could see that blessed this woman as much as her flowers had blessed me. I then asked if she needed any more jars, and she didn't, but she told me who would love them. Her daughter sells flowers and uses the mason jars as a vase. One jar brought joy to two people. Imagine how much joy could be spread when there's flowers filled in every one of those jars. When she pointed out who her daughter was, it was the woman who had laid hands on me and prayed for me back in May. This is when the feeling of being overwhelmed hit. I knew I finally understood how Jesus loves and how we love each other with that same love, because he just put me in the middle of a story he was telling me to show me his ways. When I saw both women exit the sanctuary together, the Holy Spirit prompted me to follow them. I was able to share with them how Jesus used their separate acts of loving service to teach me what love is and how to love. The conversation ended with official introductions. I explained a trick that people have used in the past to remember my name. It involves using a pun with the words "the net" to remember my name. An example being when my son played basketball, I'd tell the other parents, "Just remember that the boys are trying to get the ball through the net." The example I ended up saying that day that I've never used before because it just came up and out of me was, "Just remember that whenever Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, he would always fill the net with fish." It was like a punch in the gut when I heard those words come out of my mouth. Did I even hear what I just said? Jesus filled the net with fish. How did Jesus always use fish? Jesus always multiplied fish to feed the people. I'm going to give my fish back to Jesus so he can multiply them to feed the people. Wow, that was deep, but what did it even mean? Back in prayer I went to understand what he was trying to tell me. I woke up the next morning with an answer. I stand in front of you today only because of the strength of the Lord. My answer was a prompt to share this story and ask the church to be part of taking the lesson Jesus taught me through the church to the church and have us collectively take it to the community. My family is planning on moving to Colorado next summer. The fish Jesus currently has me filled with is a house full of items that we've collected over the years that we know are to be given away to those that need them. A recent sermon prompted an understanding that many gifts we've received from God weren't for us to hoard, but to pass on so he could multiply his love. What if we held a church family free sale? Everyone could bring to the church any items that they feel they should pass on. It would be a yard sale with no price tags. We could spread the word of the dates of this event, and those that come are able to take whatever items they need. No obligation to pay anything. I once even thought about a donation box for those that are able and wanting to give something for what they receive. However, I'm not sure if we're even supposed to do that. Do we want them walking away with items for a good price or walking away being prompted to ask why we didn't want anything in return? Maybe that will lead them to walk through the doors of this church and search for that very answer. And Jesus will be able to meet them and show them it's because of his love for them. As I continued to pray about this, Jesus provided a verse of inspiration and promise. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. I believe Jesus is trying to tell his church a story, using each of us to illustrate the lessons that Pastor has been sharing with us during these sermons about spiritual gifts. I'm just a girl that was sitting in the crowd because I'm hungry. But I heard Jesus ask if anyone had any fish that he could multiply. When I told him he could have my fish, he let me see how he could multiply them. Chivalry is not dead, and either is the man who does it best. Jesus brought home flowers and gave them to me. I was free to take those flowers to my house, and returning that gift brought me home. Jesus showed me he loved me, set me free from the lies that controlled me, and I was able to return to him. The Holy Spirit is at work in this church, and Jesus has blessed us with a variety of spiritual gifts. Will you make yourself free to serve where you're prompted and see Jesus perform miracles and people return to the church to be fed? Thank you.
Thank you, Danette. And now we know why. Do you know why I wanted her to share that message with you this morning? God bless you. It just sets me up so well to continue to talk on spiritual gifts. Let me just kind of give you the plan here for the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to finish the messages on the spiritual gifts today. It's going to wind up being a three-parter, and that's just going to end the Holy Spirit series. And then we have that Holy Spirit conference with Brad Hunt. And then following that, I'm going to go deeper into the gifts and show you how that they all work together. There's three main categories of gifts as I see it. People divide them up in different ways, and that's fine. But there's a gift that you're given at salvation, a motivational gift. That's what God gives you to serve him with. Peter says that we are to be good stewards of the grace, and it's a grace gift that's given to us. So God gives us grace. How are we good stewards of that grace? It's through his spiritual gifts that he gives us. And then these lead to ministry gifts within the church. And then the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 come into play there. And there, I want to show you how they all work together is the thing. So we're going to go deeper in that. This week and next week is just kind of a broad view yet of the gifts. But we're going to get into show how they all work, the dynamics of how they work together. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read the scripture right away this morning, but we will get to it in just a moment. We have already talked about the definition of the gifts, and we said that a spiritual gift is the Spirit-given enablement to carry out a specific function with ease and effectiveness. In other words, it's just the ability that the Holy Spirit gives you to serve the Lord with. And we talked about the distinction of the gifts, and we've talked about the distortion of the gifts, how they are misused. We talked about the denial of the gifts. We answered the objection that some people have that say that spiritual gifts are not for today. We looked at the diversity of the gifts. There's many gifts. And we've looked at the design of the gifts. That's what we're actually looking at today. We're going to look at the diversity and the design of the gifts. But let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for working in our church. Thank you for Danette and her courage, Lord, to get up here today and share what you are doing. Just bless her. Continue to bless her. Continue to bless her family. And use her for your glory. Lord, we thank you that she has recognized that you have blessed her with spiritual gifts, that you've given her fish, and these fish that you want to multiply. And you want to multiply our gifts and what you have given each of us. And we thank you for that. And may we be encouraged and continue to be challenged and have the grace to do what you want us to do. Maybe it's getting up here and sharing a testimony, or maybe it's something else. But Lord, you would give us the grace and the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Many believe that Charles Spurgeon, outside the Apostle Paul, was the greatest preacher who ever lived. Spurgeon told a story. It was a very interesting story. He told of a woman that had been a member of his congregation, and she was just very poor. She lived in poverty, really. And Spurgeon went to visit her to give her some comfort and some help. And when he was there, he saw in her room, he looked up on the wall, and there was something that was framed there. It was a framed certificate, a piece of paper of some sort. And as he looked at it closer, he discovered it was a legal document. And so he went over and he read it. And what it was a document transferring great wealth to this woman. She didn't know she had it. She had just framed this document and put it on the wall. See, what had happened was she had served as a nurse for a man and had taken care of him. And when he died, he left her his entire estate. She didn't know what it was. She was untaught. She was unlearned. She didn't know how to read. And when finally the bank learned about it, they said, "We wondered who the old gentleman left his estate to." Now, may I say this, that when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, he left you an incredible giftedness. It may be that you have not discovered what you have yet in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why we're talking about spiritual gifts. This is what the Lord has left you with. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. Could it be that you have taken your gift and you've framed it as a motto and put it on your wall, rather than carrying it to the bank and cashing it in and using it? Or perhaps it's you left your gift under the tree, unwrapped and unopened and unappreciated, therefore, and so, because you don't really have any idea what your gift might be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read just verses 4 through 6 for right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You see the word diversities. What does that mean? It just means different kinds. That's all. We are given different kinds of gifts, but it's all by the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. If you look there in verse 4, you find the word gifts. In verse 5, the word administrations. And in verse 6, you find the word operations. You see that? Gifts, administrations, operations. Those, I think, are the three categories of gifts. At least, this is what has helped me the most to understand these categories. All the gifts in the Bible fall into one of these categories. Gifts speak of God's provision. God has given you a gift. He has provided a gift for you. Administrations speak of God's purpose. God gave you a gift for a purpose. And the word operations is where we get our word energy from. This speaks of God's power. So God makes a provision. He gives you a gift. He has a purpose for that provision. He has a purpose for that gift. And then God gives you the power so that you might fulfill the purpose for that provision that God has given you. Does that make sense? God has given you a gift for a purpose, for a reason, and then God gives you the power to do that gift, to perform that gift, to use that gift for the purpose that He has intended. It's my understanding with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that this experience was meant to cause us in our Christian life to walk in co-spiritual power that is beyond our native abilities. We talk a great deal in our contemporary time about developing our spiritual gifts. And I understand what's being talked about, and at the same time, I'm a little bit hesitant to go wholeheartedly with that, because what I think what's happened is sometimes we confuse gifts with natural abilities and natural talents. And there is a connection between natural talents and gifts. There is a connection. God takes our talents and our natural abilities and works supernaturally through them. But the working in the supernatural is what the Holy Spirit does. So we see that the function of the spiritual gifts is a continuum that is consistent in some cases with our natural talents. For example, if I am a gifted speaker, then I might be used more in the speaking gifts. If I'm someone who is more shy and reserved and I'm not a public speaker, then I might be used more in the gifts of the service. And you could really say that there are a couple of categories here. There are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. And you might fit into one of those better based upon just how God made you, how you created you, and what your natural abilities are. But I want to be quick to add this and say that you can't always go by that. Because sometimes God puts people out of their comfort zone and their natural ability is not in that particular area, but God blesses them and God gives them a spiritual gift in that area. And what happens then is we're not relying upon any natural ability at all, right? We're relying upon the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to just understand today that when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about natural ability. God might use that natural ability, but that's not just natural ability, because I tell you, it wasn't natural ability that the apostles had when they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. They couldn't have done it by natural ability. It was the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And unless we as individuals and a church collectively get hungry for God to do something beyond our natural ability, we'll sit and rot till Jesus comes. That's not what we want to do. That's not what we want to do at all. We want to win this world. We want to win our generation for Christ, and we're not going to do it if we rely upon genius or intelligence. God's work has to be done with God's power. And God's power goes beyond our natural ability. So we have to give ourselves over to the Lord. I like what one pastor he said, when God saved you by His grace. But God did not save you to sit sour and sulk. God saved you to serve. And you are saved by grace, and you serve by grace, and you are a gifted child. And so there is diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. We have diversity, but there is unity in this diversity. It's unity in diversity. Let me explain it this way. When Debbie and I got married, when you got married, when Robin and Tony get married next week, they're going to get gifts. You're going to get toasters and blenders and crock pots and all of those things. All of those things have one thing in common. All the gifts that I mentioned have one thing in common. They need to be plugged in, right? They won't work if they're not plugged in. I don't know if you ever made that mistake before. You thought you had something in the crock pot. You come home and you forgot that you didn't plug it in. You didn't turn it on. So you don't have what you wanted to have. Well, we are like all of those gifts that are given as a wedding present. But we all need to be plugged into the same source, the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're not all toasters. We're not all blenders. We're not all juicers. There is diversity, but the unity comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The unity comes when we're all plugged into the Spirit. And by the way, we all have different capacities as well. We've got a small crock pot. We've got a big crock pot. We have different capacities for the Spirit as well. Not only is there different gifts, but there's different capacities. And this is what Paul is saying about the body of Christ. We have different capacities, but we have different functions, but it's the same Spirit. We're all plugged into Him. And it really, wouldn't it be boring if we were all the same? Oh man, it would be boring if we were all the same. How'd you like to eat from the same dish every night? So we are different. There's diversities of gifts, but there's unity in the Spirit. Let me tell you, diversity in a church is not bad. It's good. Division is bad, but unity is good. Unity is not unison. Okay? A choir might sing in unity, but not necessarily in unison. I mean, I like it when people get together and they sing in different keys, you know? They harmonize and the voices just blend together. It's so beautiful. There's diversity, but there's unity. And God doesn't want us all to be alike. We're not all a congregation of clones. God makes us different. Unity is also not uniformity. It's not everybody that's doing the same thing. If we all had the same spiritual gift, we really wouldn't accomplish much. And so there has to be diversities of gifts that come. And, you know, actually, if you think about it, uniformity comes from pressure without. I need to be like this person because I feel pressure to be like that. But unity comes from life within. We all share the same Holy Spirit. It's not even union. You say, well, we're all united. We're of one church. Isn't that union? Yes, but that's not necessarily unity either. You can all be in the same church and not be in unity. And so the focus here is for us to be exercising different gifts but through the same power, through the same Holy Spirit. Those are the diversities of gifts. And then there is the design of the gifts. What is God's design? What is the purpose for the spiritual gift? Well, first of all, it's to exalt God. And this means to put God on display, to glorify God. That's what it literally means, to put God on display. And in concluding his talk upon spiritual gifts, Peter, 1 Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him, or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God is to be glorified in the gifts. And again, we could say here, we could break it down in the speaking and the gifts of the service. As the oracles, the speakings, the word of God, or if any man minister, or if any man serve, let him do it as the ability which God gives. If anyone serves, let him serve with the strength that God supplies, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the purpose of the spiritual gifts really is, number one, to exalt God, to magnify God, to make God known. And then the second reason for the gift is to edify the church, or to build up the church. Ephesians 4:12, and actually verse 11 before that, says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that is the outworking of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Every man. That is, all of us have a gift. All of us are to be used in the gift. He's talking about mankind here, and he's saying to profit. Now, in the King James, it says with all. What does that mean? It means to profit the entire body. That's what it means. Your gift is not a selfish gift. Your gift is not something to be used just for your enjoyment. Your gift is to be is given to you for your employment. It is given to exalt God, to glorify Christ. It is given to build up each other, to edify and encourage one another. Your spiritual gift is a tool. It's not a toy. It is a tool. And God gives you a spiritual gift that you might have a job and get that job done and build up the church of Jesus Christ and give glory to Him. Now, if I have a gift, I'm to use my gift to bless you. And if you have a gift, you are to use your gift to bless me and to bless those that are around you. You bless others with that gift. And spiritual gifts, though, we could say then, are God's toolbox to the church. All gifts are needed. How many of you guys got tools? Is that an understatement with some of you? I mean, you got tools, right? You got just the tool for the job. What if every tool in your toolbox was a wrench? What if every tool in your toolbox was a screwdriver? Ladies, you make the equivalent to your homemaking or whatever, okay? What if every tool you had was the same? You couldn't get the job done, right? Do you understand why we need diversities in gifts? Because if all of us were the same, if we all had the same gift, we wouldn't get everything done. It would be like, oh, I'd have to use a wrench, and a wrench doesn't really work in this situation. I wish I had another tool. You know why you pay those mechanics the big bucks? It's because they got a lot of money invested in those tools. They have the tools to do the job. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs diversity in the gifts. And if we lack in any spiritual gift, we need to be praying that God would bring somebody in with that gift so that we're not lacking in any area. So there needs to be diversity. And we can't look at one and say, oh, you know what? I'm a screwdriver, but yeah, he's a little screwy sometimes. I'm a screwdriver, but we really need is a wrench. And you know what? The wrench isn't important. I'll tell you, the wrench is important. The important gifts really are the gifts that is needed for the occasion in which we want to operate in them, in which we need at that time, that we need to use. All of us are important. This is what I'm saying. No gift is more important than the other. We are all equally important. Each gift is equally important. Back before the days of motor-driven or electric organs, someone would have to pump the fill the billows with air so that the organ could make its beautiful sound. There was a little boy who was doing this, and he was down behind a curtain. And one time, he's pumping the air into those bellows as a very skilled organist was playing. And after people stopped congratulating this organist, the little boy stuck his head out from underneath the curtain. He said, "We did pretty well, didn't we?" The organist scornfully replied, "We? What did you do?" And he gave the boy no credit at all. About a month later, there was another big concert, and they came to a big stormy part of the song where all the wind you could get in those billows was needed. And suddenly the organ began to fade away. And the organist signaled for more wind. But instead, the little boy pulled aside the curtain and stuck his head out. He said, "Shall it be we?" And when the organist finally nodded in the affirmative, the boy went to work with great passion, and the show went on. But I love that. Shall it be we? Shall it be we? Hey, if we're going to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, if we're going to accomplish anything in this community, if we're going to do anything, any good in this church, it's got to be we. Shall it be we? You want to use the gifts of the Spirit? Your gifts are to bless others. Others' gifts are to bless you. There is no getting around it. Shall it be we? There are differences of gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit empowering those gifts. And I want you to know today that every single person here today, every one of you is needed. You want to know the best thing that you can do for this church? To use your spiritual gift in this church. To give your gift to the church. It's the best thing that you could give to help the church. And this way, you know what? We are all on equal footing. We're all on equal ground because every single gift is of equal importance. Sometimes people say, "I wish I could bless the church. I just don't have any way to bless the church." Oh, yes, you do. God gave you a way to bless the church. God gave you a spiritual gift. God perhaps gave you more than one spiritual gift that He wants you to use for His glory and to build the church, to exalt God and exhort other believers. Then we come to the distribution of the gifts. How are they distributed? This was so exciting when I looked at this a couple weeks ago. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same what? Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same which worketh all in all. How are your gifts given? Your gifts are given by the triune God. I want you to think about this. We've got all three members of the Trinity here involved in this. We've got the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. We've got the Lord, that's Jesus Christ. And God is referred to as the Father. So the whole Trinity is involved in spiritual gifts, in giving you spiritual gifts. I can only think of a couple other instances in Scripture where the whole Trinity was involved in something. One of them was creation. Was that a pretty big deal? The other time is redemption. Is that a pretty big deal? The resurrection of Christ, the redemption of the soul, you bet it's a big deal. And now spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are a big deal if the whole Trinity is going to be involved. I can only add one other thing that I think the whole Trinity is involved in, and that is prayer. Remember, God praying to God in the name of God on your behalf. And so the Trinity is involved in those areas, but the Trinity is also involved in spiritual gifts. They are distributed by the triune Godhead. Now, there are two wrong things about spiritual gifts. One is a sense of superiority, and the other is a sense of inferiority, and we touched on this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Is that a feeling of superiority or inferiority? Inferiority, right? Here's somebody, I think my gift is inferior. I think other gifts are superior to mine. That is wrong thinking. Okay? And then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Is that a feeling of superiority or inferiority? Superiority, right? And it's wrong. No one can say my gift is more important than your gift. All the gifts of the body are important. In fact, in verses 12 through 27 of 1 Corinthians 12, the word body is used 18 times. There is a unity and a diversity in the body of Christ through which gifts are given to us. All of these parts fit together. I'm going to drill this into you. There is unity in diversity. Say it with me. Unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. You have different gifts, but we have the same Spirit. We're all plugged into the same power. Now, in March of 1981, President Reagan was shot. Many of you you remember that. And he was hospitalized for several weeks. His hospitalization actually had little impact on the nation's activity. And because of our Constitution and chain of command, things went on pretty much as normal. The government continued on. Around that same time, there was a strike by garbage collectors in Philadelphia. In a very brief time, the city came to a screeching halt and was shut down. It was a mess, Stoney. You can imagine. Decaying trash became a health hazard. In fact, someone said a three-week nationwide strike by garbage workers would paralyze the entire nation. And that led some to say, who's more important, the president or garbage collectors? The point is, they are both necessary. They are both necessary. Every one is just as important. Just because a job is unnoticed doesn't mean it's not important. We need to accept what God has given to us. I need to accept my gifts. You need to accept your gifts. And you and I need to joyfully carry out that function. As we are being used in our gifts, I think that's when we really experience purpose in life. And we experience fulfillment. I want you to know today that you are indispensable. You are needed in the body of Christ. You are needed. Your gifts are needed here. You are needed to build each other up. You are needed to exalt God at the same time. And so here we're looking at the distribution of the gifts. And I want to look at the sovereignty of it. The source is the triune God. The sovereignty of these gifts is determined by the triune God. Determined by the giver of these gifts. In verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says, For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Who distributes the gifts? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God distributes the gifts. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Or the very same Spirit works all of these, dividing to each one individually as he wills, as he determines. You know, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, Luke says, a former book I wrote, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. You know what? You stop and think about that. The striking thing to me about what Luke says is that the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, from his birth through his ascension, is only the beginning of what Jesus did and taught. The book of Acts is the story of the church. It's a story that continues until now. And it's simply a continuation of what Jesus said that he would do. The book of Acts is still being written. The book of Acts was never a finished book. It is a continuation of the work of Jesus Christ, continued by his followers as they are filled with the Spirit. We are Jesus' hands in this world. We are his eyes in this world. We are his voice in this world. He wants his actions to be seen, and he wants his voice to be heard. And so he allows us to be part of that body. And in order to be his voice, and in order to do his works, we have to have spiritual power. And this is the gift. These are the giftings of the Holy Spirit. This is exactly why Jesus has given gifts. He ascended to heaven, but he left gifts to men on earth to carry on his work. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The thing that I want you to notice is everyone. Now, does that include you? Are you part of the everyone? You are everyone. If you are a child of God, indeed, you have a spiritual gift. And what I'm going to do next week, I know I'm putting you off one more week, but I hope I'm building anticipation. And I'm hoping that you're thinking, you know, I wonder what my gift is. And when you find out what the gift is, we're going to embrace it. And next week, we're going to look at that. I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to give you some scenarios to help you discover what this gift is. But if you look in Ephesians, there in verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he's talking about Jesus. He led captivity captive. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the devil. And he gave gifts unto men. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about you. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that hath ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, here's what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ descended. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross. He was buried, but he rose again. And when Jesus died on the cross for us, with his blood, he purchased our salvation. At the same time, he broke Satan's back. Satan's kingdom came crashing down, and Satan and his forces were crushed by Calvary. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, led captivity captive. Satan had taken the world captive, but Jesus took Satan captive. That's what it means. He led captivity captive. Now, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, as I shared this a couple of weeks ago, was the Roman triumph. And when a Roman general would go off and fight the war for Rome, if he won the battle, he would come back to the city of Rome. They would have a parade called the triumph. And in the triumph, the Roman general would come. The air would be filled with incense and perfume. He'd be riding upon a white horse. And in this parade, there would be priests who would be blowing incense, sending up incense and perfume. And the people would be there giving their praises to the general. And behind this general would come the conquered kings and his generals behind him. And they would have been stripped naked, absolutely naked. They would be chained to the conquering general's chariot wheels, and they would be dragged along. They would be dragged through the streets. The people would be praising and giving exaltation to that conquering general. There would be jeering and mocking of those who had been stripped and shamed and subdued, with their power gone, their pride laid in the dust. And then behind them would come servants, all carrying the spoils from the battle, the riches that had been conquered. And they've been brought back to Rome to be given to the people of Rome. Now that's the picture. That's the picture that Paul is talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended on high. He led captivity captive. And if you can picture it today, he's got his chariot. He's riding on a white horse, pulling his chariot. And chained to this chariot is the devil and all of the devil's forces. And behind that, all of the devil's slaves, those who had been slaves to Satan, those who had been servants to Satan, and Jesus, and they're carrying all those spoils with them. And Jesus comes and he takes the spoils and he gives them to his people. He gives them to heaven's citizens. He gives them to you and I. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to you and I. He that went ascended into heaven gave gifts unto men, gave gifts to you. This is how important this is. You have the gift that was given by Christ himself to you. You have a gift from a conquering king that has been placed in your disposal to be used to further this kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. What you have in your life, this spiritual gift that you possess, is something that you need to treasure, because it's a gift given from Jesus himself for you. You need to treasure this gift, and you need to use that gift. Don't insult him by not using it. You know, when you give gifts to somebody and you go to their house, one of the things you want to know, are you able to use what I gave you? You like to see that gift be in operation. You like to see it being used, right? Jesus gave gifts because he wants you to use those gifts. He has ordained that you have that gift. And so you can't say, my gift isn't important. Your gift is important. It was handpicked for you by Jesus himself. You say, well, my gift doesn't have any power. Your gift has all the power in the world because it comes from a conquering king. You have gifts. Here's what I want you to do this week. Read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And we're going to pull out spiritual gifts from those passages next week. And I want you to be praying, God, show me. Because I hope that you're excited about this. God, show me what your gift is. Reveal it to me. I want to be used by you. I want to be a good steward of your grace. And God will show you what those gifts are. And we're going to just kind of just go over them next week and hopefully make some discoveries. But we're going to go deeper in the gifts following the conference. I'm just going to skip ahead here. I want us to read this together, because the word is, we, shall it be what? Shall it be I? Shall it be me? Shall it be we? Okay, can we stand? Let's stand and read this together. We are Jesus' hands in the world. We are Jesus' eyes in the world. We are Jesus' voice in the world today. He wants his actions and his voice to come with spiritual power. That is why he has given the gifts. I want you to join hands. I want to say it one more. We're going to say this one more time. I want you to join hands. And when we get to that last line, that is why he has given the gifts. I want you to turn back and forth to each person on either side of you and look at them as you say that. That is why he has given the gifts. Because you're saying to that person, that is why he has given you the gifts. All right? We are Jesus' hands in the world. We are Jesus' eyes in the world. We are Jesus' voice in the world today. He wants his actions and his voice to come with spiritual power. That is why he has given the gifts. Amen. And it's already happening. It's already happening. You are being used by God in your gifts. And it's just continue to flow. And I pray, just expound and expound and expound. You know, I can't think of a better prayer than that. So you're dismissed. God bless you.